strikes, we are on the road some more. I don't know if the sound quality is all much better or worse or whatever it is. It just is what it is. And we're now on State New Mexico, State Highway 108. This highway predominantly runs between it's called from Texaco to Pleasant Hill. I'm always kind of confused about where the hill is particularly, but anyway, it's always out here. I think there was also Oklahoma Lane, which is named for the many families that came from Oklahoma to a little bit of New Mexico just here, just north of Texaco and Clovis. And I think it's funny because honestly, although I don't seem to have any relatives or had any relatives in Oklahoma Lane, a lot of my Burke family was from Oklahoma, Hollis, Oklahoma, which is a very the southwest corner of Oklahoma was where they were from. And I don't know if any of the family really lives there anymore. But like I said, part of the car I have now, actually my friend is still working on it. He's having problems. It was really a car from a different style of Mitsubishi Mirage than the one I have. And I'm not really sure the systems talk to each other very readily. Anyway, but yeah, I find it really interesting that engine and transmission came from another location that has some family connection to it. I just find that interesting. But anyway, so we're going toward Tucumcari. Our kids were very young. My first three children were all born in Portales, New Mexico. Lisa had a doctor there, Dr. Alexander, who she liked very much. And he, as far as I recall, he delivered all three of our first kids. And but we had moved from Portales into Clovis. My mom was living in Clovis. My grandmother was living in Clovis. And my great aunt, one of my great aunts, actually both my great aunts, still lived in Clovis as well. And so there was a lot of family there. And So even though our kids were born in Fortalice, the only kid that we actually gave birth to while we were in Fortalice was our oldest, Nathan. Going to school, going to college. And we were living in a little itty-bitty apartment in Fortalice. They're on Boston Avenue. And but then we had gone off. I'd finished up my associate's degree, and we went off to Clovis and had an employment problem. I'm not a good radio advertising salesman, for one thing. Just didn't have the right, I don't think I just had the gumption. It could have been personality, but I think it had more to do with gumption. I just really wasn't terribly excited. And I don't make the kinds of relationships that really work well for these kinds of circumstances. So, and then I tried my daycare center, and that was kind of a flop as well. It became a good business for a friend of my mother's who took it over after I gave up. She got the building that I had worked. I did a good job of converting an old insurance office into a daycare center. She took it and made it into a daycare center and did really quite well, I think. She did it for many, many years. So it must have been okay. And the kind of cool features that I put in there, she hung on to. She didn't just, you know, paint over them. So that was kind of cool. Our younger three children, Josh, number four, was actually one of the few babies born in Tucumcari, at the Tucumcari Hospital there. The doctor that we had, Dr. Johnny Faith, he decided that he wanted to get into obstetrics. So I don't know how long he actually did it. But yeah, we had a baby. We had our baby in a there in Tucumcari, Joshua. The last two, the twins, don't know what exactly the circumstances were, but they were born in Clovis Hospital. Traumatic. Lisa almost died. Really glad she didn't. Anyway, so in the midst of all that, even though it's like, well, you said, you know, we had moved to Tucumcari in 1995, pardon me. And A work transfer finally got me there. We had tried to go to Tucumcari previous to that. And and that had fallen through. And then there was an opportunity. Somebody was, a job had been vacated with the WIC program, which I was working as a traveling nutritionist around the district, which was centered in Roswell. That's actually where we were living at the time, was in Roswell. We didn't stay in Roswell very long. It wasn't a very good situation at all. We were living on old base housing. There used to be an old Air Force base there. Now it's just their very, very large and busy airport, mostly for freight, not for other things particularly. And it was a bad scene at the old the old base housing apartment that we had, and so the first transfer that we got was to Tucumcari, and that was how we ended up there. We actually rented the house two houses down from the house we own now, from my mom's old house that we kind of took over. We actually managed the house between that first house and our house. We mow the lawn. We pay the taxes. And we use the house for storage. And the occasional kid that comes through who needs just a place to sleep. We've at least fixed up the bedrooms, or at least cleaned up the rooms enough so that it was decent for sleeping. So that's kind of that happened. And well, we moved into that one apartment in 1995. Stayed there for, I don't know if it was more than just a couple of years. Maybe about 3 years we lived in that house. It's now abandoned again. It's empty now, but somebody else is cutting that lawn, and I don't know if they're using that house for storage. It's just like we use the house just across the side street from us. It's next door, but it's across a little side street. Anyway, and then we bought our big house at Tucumcari. I told Lisa that we had the opportunity to move. I was working offshore, and once you work offshore for, once you're in a job for a couple of years, which I was there, I worked offshore for a couple of years, doing oil exploration, you're pretty much into the groove. Lisa said, when the twin, when we got pregnant, we knew we were having twins. Lisa said I couldn't keep that job, that she needed me around more. So, I left that work, and we've pretty much been living, we pretty much lived in Tucumcari for the next, how long was it? Quite a while. We left in, 2013, as I recall. I took a job at the university that I went to, my old alma mater, Eastern New Mexico University in Portales. I took a job. Well, I had several jobs, but but we were staying in Tucumcari, and I would travel a whole lot. I had a string of either heavy commuting or travel jobs. And, that was when I said, you know what, you need to take advantage of opportunities. And so I went after a job at Eastern Express University and got it. And, we moved there and rented a house for, I'd say, for about 8 months. I think that was the extent of it. And, yeah, anyway. So we left, and so we went first to Portales, then to Oklahoma City, and then came back to Portales. We were in Oklahoma City for 2 years, and we came back to Portales for 5 years. So we were gone for about 7 years, 6 or 7 years, and anyway, and then my mom started having some problems, health problems. And decided to move off with my brother, who had built kind of a little casita out behind his house in St. George, Utah. And so she moved there. She left behind a ton of her old, you know, her furniture. The house she left behind had some old furniture in it, not a lot. She had actually donated a lot to our local church group. And they had sold it off as garage sale. Anyway, so and she had told us, she goes, I'm never coming back to that place. I'm never coming back to that house. I just, you guys can do what you want with it. Sell it, live in it. I don't care. The original plan was just to kind of board it up and ignore it and just pay the property taxes on it. That bothers me, to pay property tax on something I'm not going to be using. I think that was troublesome. And it was like, wait a minute. I mean, I've got this job in Portales, but in the middle of COVID, this is actually before COVID. We had started working on trying to fix up the house, then try to actually sell it. And we didn't get a lot of enthusiasm from our friend who does real estate there in Newton Cary. He didn't think we'd get more than $20,000 for it. And it was like, what? Which was funny because my mom actually bought it for $50,000. And it was like, I don't know. So when we were working on it, it didn't take very long in beginning to try to clean it up and get it ready for sale that Lisa said, wait a minute. You know, here's an idea. I don't know if she came up with it or if I did. And we came up with that we would go ahead and move into it. All of our kids had left. The only child left we had in home was Matt, and Matt had been living in this house for quite a while with my mother. You could call it independence. At least he wasn't living with his parents. And we kind of styled it as Matt was taking care of Grammy. Well, it was probably more of Grammy taking care of Matt. But anyway, you know, it's neither here nor there about how you help somebody feel about circumstances. Anyway, so all Matt's stuff was still up in Newton Cary. He had come and since my mom had left, he had come down and started to come down and live with us. Anyway, so we decided to move back to Newton Cary. Kind of tough on Lisa because she'd see her old big house all the time, drive past it. We had over financed, sold it to a family. And we made quite a bit of money off of that whole situation. That was really quite a lucrative deal there. Can't complain about it on any level whatsoever. Except that Lisa was quite sad because in that house, she had a lot of storage. She had lots of cabinets. And it was a really big kitchen. I didn't like it because it was electric, but Lisa, she was fine with it. She liked it fine. Anyway, so it was tough being in the smaller house. I think she's at least tolerant of the smaller house now. We used to have these grandiose plans that we were going to expand it. And I just said, you know, we probably have I can't really say if we have the resources now to do that if we wanted to. The biggest problem would be I don't think that, it doesn't matter. It is what it is now. It's a good, I think it's a relatively good circumstance. We're actually planning a few more improvements to it. Mostly, there was a back fence that never really got put up. that Lisa wants to have to be a little more private. And we're looking at doing that, right? And we tried to price it out here, but right now, the particular kind of fence panels that we really want, I think they're sold out. They're just not available right now. So I've got to watch on this road. I almost ran over a couple of deer here in just previous weeks. I don't know when hunting season starts, which means all the deer run away. There's always antelope here. I think there's an antelope season too. But anyway, pardon me. I'm actually doing this recording more so that I can stay awake. I figure if I'm talking, I'm less likely to drift off. So this might be a feature of the weekly Temple Run, is that I make a big recording here, and I need to make sure that I put down that These travels need to be a little more, have a date attached to it, along with just with maybe a title. For the reason that there's going to be a lot of recordings that you just say, well, this is the road between Texaco and Bellevue. Then we have a lot of things called the road between Texaco and Bellevue. Even though I think I'll continue to do this all the way, probably all the way into Tucumcari. Oh, pardon me. I'm just about ready to get to the Grady Road, the one that runs between Grady and Hereford, Texas. I see a little bit of lightning over here, kind of toward the northeast. And the moon's almost full, so you can see, the land around. I'm just going past some wind turbines. This area right around Broadview. I don't know when they put in these wind turbines. It was since we have come back. They were put in while we were gone. There you go. Anyway, so I'm out here. We're now on Grady Highway. Ready to join up with 209, which is the major road that runs between Clovis and Tucumcari. Goes through Broadview, goes through Grady, then Raglan, then Quay, then Tucumcari. And you can tell that I've done these roads for many years. Just doing this and that. So I've only got a few years left. Lisa is being very kind and saying you need to go and you need to make a lot of money. Which I am. And it's going to go for Social Security. I'm kind of hoping that at the end of the day, my Social Security will be close to how much I make on my pension. And that'll get us, you know, a little over $4,000 a month, which will be good, you know. Lisa just has to hang on. How much we're gonna, Lisa and I have lived such separate lives for so many years. So on and off, it isn't like it was regular, but I always had to travel to get good money. And so I've always had to kind of commute around to handle things. I'm looking forward to, I don't know, sometimes I get kind of a kick out of the commute. I get to record things, which I've been doing recording since 2005, which was my traveling job, covering a large territory for New Mexico State University. And I did, and I, you know, trying to find ways to entertain yourself. I don't know. Anyway. So I did a whole lot of, I started doing recordings in 2005, and now I'm back to doing recordings yet again. And I would do them on and off with all the commuting I did. So I guess I did quite a bit. Although I did have breaks, you know. I seem to have recordings from every single year, but I can't say that there were a lot some years. There are a lot now. Oh, excuse me. Oh, not even a Bronby yet. I'm yawning. So anyway, let's see. What else is going on? Actually, I'm seeing a very well-lit roof out here north of the highway. And you know what it makes me do? It makes me think of the old craft site that I still have it. But, boy, I don't go out there anymore. The last visit that Lisa and I made out there, which was just a couple of weeks ago, was so discouraging. Place had been ripped to shreds and my access to it had been cut off. You'd have to kind of come up with a new way to get out there. Anyway, so but I remember I spent 2 years living during the week at the craft site, at first in a geodesic dome that I had built, and then after that, I spent a little bit of time sleeping in the Ford Explorer that that kind of fell into my lap, really. I put it to use, at least. And I was sleeping in that for a little while until I just said, you know what, this isn't economical enough. So that's when I got Sandy, the Sandy car. And pardon me, Stan Jones. Come to see Stan Jones. I just went past his house, and or at least what used to be his house. I think it still is. He owns land down here, so I don't imagine he's going to be walking away from it very readily. He used to be the extension ag agent for Curry County when I was working for the Extension Service. And I'm always hard pressed to call anybody a friend. And I don't mean that unkindly, I hope. Who is it? John C. Dvorak from the No Agenda Show talks about his definition of a friend. And he says, a friend has come over to your house for dinner and you've been over at their house for dinner. That's your friend. If you haven't been over to their place, if they haven't been over at your place, that's just kind of an acquaintance. And so, now I'm not sure, because I actually have been to his place to help him with some projects he was working on for extension that were a little off the beaten path of what I did. But I helped him with it. It didn't bother me any, and it certainly didn't bother my boss, so we went off and did that. So I guess we're my behalf friends. He didn't come over and eat with me ever. But I don't know if he ever fed me, but that's okay. So I was over at his house doing stuff for him. I don't know if I was just his, I was kind of just his technician. So, no, I guess it still falls back to being an acquaintance. Anyway, I'm on the road. I just went past Broadview. I'm on the way to Grady, and then from Grady to Raglan. I've gone down a lot of the back roads here, although I'm not doing that today, except for the normal back road between Bellevue and Texaco, because I just want to skirt Clovis. Too much wild garbage going on there. I just assume be on an empty road. Anyway, I have been on a lot of these little roads. Let me tell you, the little roads that lead you off the top of the Cap Rock into the Canadian, I think it's the Canadian River Valley. That's what formed most of the lower lands here, which Tucumcari is part of that. Come off the Cap Rock. It's a really neat one there at Norton. And taking that road a few times. They actually paved that one. It used to just be a dirt road, and they paved it. And it's like, wow, what inspired you guys to do that? It's not a bad thing. And then there's some kind of this way toward Broadview. There's actually a road that goes north out of Broadview. And if you just keep going north, it takes a sharp turn and then goes back to the road towards San Jose. But there's actually a dirt road that you can go down, and it goes down that road that goes out toward, I think it ends up in I think it ends up in Bard, the old Bard, the actual original Bard, which was on Route 66, which is now kind of an unpaved state, I don't know if it's a state road 66 or county road 66, I'm not sure. It's just a dirt road, though, and it really reminds you of big sections of when they established Route 66 back in the 20s, that was what the Route 66 experience was. They would take pictures of the huge mud ruts because of all the people trying to use this road, and it really wasn't designed for anything like it. And they finally went through the effort of paving it. I don't know if those sections of Route 66 have been paved and they've been let go back to dirt, gravel, garbage. Anyway, I remember one time we had brought one of our nieces had come to stay with us for a little while, and I decided to take that back road. We had gone to Clovis for something. We were doing something. I was going to the movies or something. And then we Grady Cemetery off to my north, and then you can see Grady itself. They used to have a wind turbine here. And they got rid of it. It was a small one. I don't know how much electricity it really produced for the city. But I'm sure that they got a grant for it. And somebody kind of sold it on them. And, yeah, they did a little one. And it's long gone now. It kind of fell apart after, I don't know how many years it's been up, maybe 10 years. And never really repaired it. You know, there really wasn't any money. That's really what happened. You know, I was talking earlier about the old pool there at Melrose. I was just right there. It's right next to the park at Melrose, the Melrose Park, and they had filled it in with dirt. It was just this grassy patch now, surrounded by concrete. I don't know what happened to the Grady pool. That was quite the thing when Joe and I were kids. My brother Joe and I went to school at Grady for a year. And I think the pool was a feature. You know, it wasn't a big pool, but it was a pool. And I don't know what ever happened to the Grady pool. I don't think we ever went swimming there. Because you have to understand, we were living out at the family ranch, and we had a big stock tank. And we swam in the stock tank. And that was pretty workable. It was pretty workable. Wasn't too deep. I can't remember if we did any diving. I don't think we really did. We rigged up, well, you know, Joe mostly did this stuff. I was just kind of present, I think. Joe kind of rigged up a raft that we put in there, but we had gotten two cows. My dad was wanting to raise some cows. He had one girl that he wanted to raise for a milk cow and one boy that he wanted to slaughter for meat. I think that was the original idea that my parents had. And and our boy cow, the meat cow, we called him Chow. He started eating on that raft, and it killed him. You know, got stuck in his gut, and he swole up and died. My first experience with used cow dealers. They go and take all your dead cattle, and they'll take them off, and they'll boil them down. I don't know what they do to process them. Turn them into whatever products they do. I think good sections of them get turned into glue. I'm not sure. Anyway, I don't think there are used cow salesmen much anymore. Everything's so synthetic now, they don't actually use cow parts for a lot of things. Maybe. You know, I don't know. Maybe there's still a thing. Anyway, so the girl cow we saved, she thought she was a dog. And so she was just a pet. She'd follow us around. She'd play with the dogs. And the dogs would just tolerate her. I don't know. Anyway, so I don't know how long we had her before they just decided, well, we called her How now. And my dad and a friend of his, local fella, he had the equipment for butchering the cow, so that's what they did. They butchered our cow, our girl cow. Anyway, so yeah. You go for that. My dad came through just the last couple of years, and he decided that he wanted to go and visit some of the places that he had lived around here, which was only a few places, really. We had a little bitty house it wasn't a little bitty. It was a three-bedroom. It was a three-bedroom, one-bath house on the north end of Main Street in Clovis. It was a flat roof house. Problems, you know. Every time it rained or it snowed, you would find new leaks and problems. Anyway, so We lived there for I don't know how long. I don't have any clue. I was too young, wasn't really paying attention. And we lived there for a little while. Then we moved out to the family ranch. There's a really old house, that family ranch. And I forget how long we were out there. It must have been a few years, at least. Trying to remember. I went to... It must have been for at least three years. I think that's probably about right. I went to school for fourth grade at Zia Elementary. Fourth grade, fifth grade. I remember my teacher's name. Mrs. Gilliland. I don't remember my third grade teacher's name. Mrs. Gilliland was my fourth grade teacher. Mrs. Robinson was my fifth grade teacher at Zia. And then I went to, my 1 year at Grady School. My brother and I went there, and my teacher there's name was Mr. Bowles, and he was fun. Then my dad got an opportunity to go to Lubbock. And run, he was in the copier sales by then, and he got the opportunity to run a branch office of a copier sales outfit in Lubbock, and he did that for the majority of our time in Lubbock, which was, oh my gosh. I do recall, of course, you know, I was in the sixth grade in 1978-1979. And so we moved in 1979. My parents got divorced in really so little time. Sixth grade, I went to school at Shallow Water. For seventh grade, my parents got divorced somewhere right in there. And so my dad left. Me and Mom moved into town. And I did my eighth grade year at Smiley Wilson Middle School. It was junior high school back then. And then I did ninth, tenth, and 11th grades at Coronado High School. I really do that much. I think maybe the junior high school, maybe I was there for 2 years. I probably have been there for my eighth grade year and my ninth grade year. Maybe. I don't remember. Anyway, and then I went to high school and then for my senior year, my mom decided to move to Clovis. And I was tempted to stay. Well, you know what? I thought maybe I was tempted to stay. Maybe she'd discuss it with me, and I said, well, I don't know, whatever. And I ended up going to Clovis High School, got reacquainted with some of the people that I had seen last in the fifth grade. All of a sudden, I was in at Clovis High School graduating with those people. And that was just bizarre. Anyway, graduated from Clovis High. And then I went to, I just did a little bit here and there, really. Anyway, you know, it's not really that big of a deal. Where the heck are we? We're at mile marker 49, if that has any meaning to anybody. I don't really have any idea. I don't know if I've gone past the Norton turnoff yet or not. Anyway, so, wow, you want to plow through my life a little bit more? These things are bringing up weird, interesting memories. Let's see. What else is there? I don't think I have anything else to talk about. I remember at one point we were trying to move back to Grady. Well, actually, Lisa and I were house sitting for one of my mom's friends, Dixie Johnson. I can talk about her since she's since passed away. And that situation, you know, was going to end soon. So I was looking at taking, you know, I don't know what I was trying to do. Anyway, so I tried to get a job there as kind of the computer guy. Didn't get it. Trying to remember when that was. We were still living in Clovis. But that's not true. No. We were living in Tucumcari because I had just gotten off the boat, I think. And so that was kind of my claim to fame for being a good computer guy. And it didn't work out. Didn't work out at all. So I got the job at the prison doing their computers. And that's where I got my provisional teaching certificate too. I actually got certified as a teacher, believe it or not. I am an absolute, I'm an absolute waste of a teacher. Every time I've done it, it's been kind of a farce. Anyway, so anything else I have to talk about, to think about here? I don't know. Lots of interesting stuff. Here's the Melrose cutoff. I'm further along than I thought. We're only six miles out from Ragland. 31 miles from Tucumcari. It's 10:35. And we're right on schedule, it looks like. I usually get in just right at 11 o'clock. And that gives me 6 hours of sleep before I have to get up and start thinking about going off to work. Anyway, so not much more to talk about this road. I could tell stories. I guess I'll eventually get to them. I don't want to do them all now. I'll have to do more later. Well, anyway. Well, there wasn't much else more to say here. I think I'm about done, so I probably need to stop this recording, crank up another one on a whole other subject, probably. Anyway, yeah. So, this has been Cohen Meanderer again, because I meander. It's just kind of random, farting around, whatever. And I'll talk to you later. Bye.